This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. The COVID-19 outbreak and the subsequent movement control order has made us all quite anxious, fearful and stressed. However, I have online with me Paul Jambunathan, consultant clinical psychologist, joining us for his monthly show to share with us some advice on how we can use this time, especially as we are staying at home, limiting our movements. This could be a time and an opportunity to recalibrate our lives and to perhaps look at what fresh start we can take when the outbreak is over or perhaps has passed its peak. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm good, thank you.
So let's look at, stress, perhaps an overload of all kinds of emotions and feelings that we're going through, right? With what we've already said is an unprecedented circumstances for us. Can we talk a little bit about what kinds of emotions are we processing during this period to help us understand what we're going through?
Well, a good way to look at this is to think normal first. Mm-hmm. Think of the normal day and just imagine the kind of problems we face during a normal day. Mm-hmm. Now, imagine this scenario. You take someone who is facing a stressful end-of-the-day scenario. You take him and put him under more stress. Mm-hmm. You tighten all the screws around him. Take away his liberty. Take away his space. Take away his food, his time. Take away all the conveniences he has. Mm-hmm. And you're going to produce an animal that's caged up. Mm-hmm. An animal that's angry, an animal that's frustrated, an animal that's getting lonely and depressed. So when you ask me what kind of emotions, it is, I would say, all kinds of emotions. It mm-hmm. is you who's got to be able to identify it. But the dangerous bit is they're all reaching boiling level. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a normal expression of it. It's boiling, it's vaporizing, it's changing from like water into steam. The emotion is changing its form, its content, and its expression. So it takes all kinds of expressions. It'll take all forms of actions and words and physical manifestations that it gets distorted. Mm. And then it starts causing damage along the way. But the worst thing is it's like a wave. And if I may use the old analogy called a tsunami, the tiny little wave, if you don't pay attention to it, is going to start building up and cascading. And it builds up into this huge wave that destroys everything in its way. Mm. Now, that's what we've got to be aware of. So what we need to do is to start identifying how we feel, act, and think. The acronym is FAT, mm-hmm. our F-A-T, how we feel, act, and think. If we can keep our finger on that pulse, I think we've got a very good chance of successfully living with this stress. Not removing it. We can't remove it. But we can live very effectively with this stress. So all kinds of emotions.
Okay, yes. And really, it depends, like you said, where we are starting from in our in what was normal for us.
That's true. And shall we, don't forget the human lifespan. Huh? Mm-hmm. We assume when we talk, we assume that it's you and I referring to one another. But when we talk about situations like this, we must remember that the whole family is living together with a representation of lifespan there. You've got the baby. My neighbor has got a 5-month-old baby, mm-hmm. and then a 5-year-old child, and then she's in her young adulthood. The husband is middle adulthood. So everyone has different needs, different developmental stages, different ways of processing information, different ways of understanding, different needs, different expectations. You throw all this into a blender, what kind of cocktail are you going to get? Mm-hmm. You know, so the lifespan must be taken into consideration. Mm-hmm. And of course, family dynamics. Suddenly you're having not just individuals living alone, but people locked in and trapped in together with maybe in-laws, outlaws. Mm-hmm. Everyone's turning to crime within the family in a funny sense. Mm-hmm. But deviations will start setting in. Yes. Yeah. So we must consider that too, lifespan.
Mm. And in the course of, sort of reflecting on how we feel, act and think, as you said earlier, how do we recognize that how we feel is perhaps negatively impacting the way we act and think? I am thinking of it as a sort of cascade, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the acronym FAT could be spelled ATF TAF, TFA, it doesn't matter which is the chicken or which is the egg. Mm. If you're a cognitive person, you might be someone who's able to identify how you're thinking first. Mm-hmm. If you're a feeling person, feelings might be your predominant what we call method of operation, modus operandi. Mm-hmm. If you're an acting person, you might be the guy who slaps first and then thinks later. Mm-hmm. So whatever is your predominant style, start there. I mean, if you realize that you've done something and then you reflect on it, okay, then it's going to be an AF, ATF kind of thingy. Mm-hmm. But if you're a thinking person, think first before you feel or act. Or identify your feelings first, see how that drives your thinking. Wherever you're coming from, these have to be at least these three. I've reduced it and made it too simplistic. But it's a working model. Whatever you're doing, the idea is reflection upon whatever is occurring. Reflection, and then you have slow it down. And once you slow it down, you've got choices that appear. Mm-hmm. And how to slow it down is this lovely catchphrase that we use at the moment. Quite relevant. I'm not minimizing it. This thing called mindfulness. Mm-hmm. To slow things down, a very good technique is consciously slow things down, of course, if you're used to it. But a very good technique is called mindfulness. Mm-hmm. For those of you who want to look it up, it's available on the net. They use it as a therapeutic tool all over the place for all kinds of stuff. But just to learn mindfulness itself, type it in, and you can make reference to the founder of this exercise called John Kabat, K-A-B-A-T, Zinn, Z-I-N. John, I think, is J-O-N, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. Now, he will walk you through the exercise on YouTube. But mindfulness basically is teaching you how to be mindful, to get into the zone in the here and now. Where you are, what you're doing, stop, slow down the world, and become sensitive to your body, to yourself, now. Right now, not yesterday, not the last moment, and not tomorrow. So you slow everything down where your mind stops rushing, and you become sensitive to yourself and your processes now. Hmm. Now you're slowing down. Then your mind becomes clearer, and you're able to start thinking of FAT a lot better.
Okay. Will mindfulness help us to get used to this drastic change in our routines? You know, from being able to go out to work every day, now we have to stay at home all the time. From being able to socialize, now we have to have a distance.
Yeah. Mindfulness will help because mindfulness basically helps with change. Change. Now, that's the biggest word that's, for me, is deriving, one of the biggest words that's deriving from this whole phenomenon we're going through. Mm-hmm. We are required to change and keep changing. Mm-hmm. Now, that leads us to this thing called evolution, which I'll come to later. But yes, mindfulness will help us slow things down so that we can slowly change, and that change will help us adapt. That'll increase our skills to survive. It'll give us options. We'll become more adept, and definitely it'll contribute to our resilient behavior in terms of dealing with anything that comes along, because I'm equipped, I'm ready. I know some skills on how to cope and adapt successfully. Mm. So the answer is yes. Don't take mindfulness for granted. Start using it now. Use it for 5 to 10 minutes a day. Then you'll increase it. You'll realize you're using it most of the time. And it is wonderful.
So if we want to talk about adapting to change, like you said earlier, feelings of being, you feel like you're caged up. And, you know, many of us also feel the sense of helplessness because it is an unknown pathogen, an unknown pandemic that's just sweeping through. And then we saw behaviors like, panicking, sharing of information without checking, hoarding, panic buying.
Sure.
How do all those behaviors, how do you see them? Do you think they are actually normal or abnormal reactions to this change?
I believe they are very normal. Mm-hmm. In understanding panic, I think it's normal. It's prescriptive. You can predict what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. There's nothing unexpected that's happening. Mm. It's abnormal because that is not the norm. Mm. This kind of panic buying and sharing and what a frenzied behavior is the norm now.
Mm. Yes.
Do you understand? Almost the majority is doing it. So when the majority is doing it, that's the norm. So those of us get accused of, hey, why are you so cool? You're irritating me, lah. You know, because I'm so cool about things. People are getting irritated that I'm so laid back. I said, I'll tell them there are more important things to think of. I got more important things on my plate. Mm. And so I'm the abnormal one now. But this kind of panic behavior, I think the authorities and the managers of all levels, from kindergarten right up to the government, they all expected it. And they had a response ready, or they developed a good response. And I think it's changed. This wasn't like day one. Mm. Today, if you look at things happening around us, it wasn't like day one or day zero. Mm. And things have changed. People have adapted. I'm very proud of the way Malaysians have changed. Mm. And it is really very successful. Mm-hmm. Of course, there are deviants along the way. Now, we've come back to our old norm, you know. Basically, people are still buying. They're still hoarding, no doubt, but not as much. They realize we can go shopping. Things are still on the shelves. Mm. They're learning. They're adapting. They're changing. I've got a lot of faith in human behavior and human thought, whatever age. And that leads me to this idea of evolution. Only things like this, trauma and pain and pressure and the need for change, when it knocks on our door, that's when we respond. Otherwise, we are lackadaisical and we're taking things for granted. I'm not going to get sophisticatedly philosophical on nature's response and our answer to Mother Nature. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is we have taken things for granted even in terms of our self-care and our stocking at home, for instance, mm-hmm. or our family members and who does what at home and how. Mm-hmm. All these little things, we need to evolve. Mm-hmm. Our responsiveness to one another and the world, our immediate world, we need to change. Mm-hmm. And I think we're doing well.
Okay, so when we come back from the break, let's look at sort of this new normal that's been imposed upon us, or rather, that we have to live with now, and how do we evolve with that? I have on the line with me consultant clinical psychologist Paul Jambunathan. We're looking at how mindfulness and learning to adapt can help us get through the movement control order and COVID-19 outbreak. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Health and Living. I'm T. Xiao Ik. On the line with me, Paul Jambunathan, consultant, clinical psychologist. We're talking about techniques for getting through the movement control order in light of the COVID-19 outbreak. Just before the break, Paul, you talked about the idea of evolution, that it takes sometimes great trauma or a great crisis.
Pain,
yes,
trigger.
To make us evolve, to make us adapt and become resilient. If we look
to kickstart the fat in us now.
The fat being the feel, act, and think.
And think components, yeah.
Yes. If we looked at, with the movement restrictions that the whole country is under, you could say it's been imposed on us, or you could say that this is just a new normal for us in order to fight the infection, the transmission. On the one hand, yes, we are at home a lot more. We're spending a lot more time with the family. But that's also leading to a lot of friction. Things like that. How do we recalibrate, I guess, and how do we evolve from there?
Okay. Another key word that I've derived from this experience is this word called self-awareness. Mm-hmm. Becoming aware of what's happening to me. Although we talked about having the sensitivity to FAT, but self-awareness in terms of how things are beginning to affect me and what I can do to respond to it, or how I'm actually responding to the situation right now. So in short, the reply is, the key to this is self-awareness. Mm-hmm. I've tried to circumvent the term emotional intelligence, mm-hmm. because that's bandied about too much. I'm trying to make it practical. To qualify and increase the quality of your interactions with people and living together in a pressure cooker and all of that, mm-hmm. you need to understand yourself first. Start mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. Then you need to start understanding the persons you're living with. Mm-hmm. You need to start understanding their needs and their wants. That's what I teach a lot of people. The best way to live with someone is to understand that person in terms of their needs and their wants, what mm-hmm. they need and what they desire. Because that formulates your emotion and drives your behavior. Mm. So if you begin to become sensitive to the understanding of their needs and their wants, especially yours, and how these two interact, I need space, you need space, No, I need to eat first. No, you need to eat first. I'm hungry. I want to sleep. Oh, you want to sleep? I want to watch TV. No, I need to eat, la. You want to watch TV, which is more important. So once you start talking like this, now we come down to another word, talking. What I propose to many families that I'm in support with via handphone and computers over this crisis is setting up this thing called family meetings, things we've talked about on BFM in the past. Mm-hmm. Sitting down every day, I suggest at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day, sitting down as a family and reviewing the day up to that moment. What's happening? Now, I will start as Paul. I'll say, I need this at the moment. I don't have any wants. I need this. I need some space alone. I need to have at least one bedroom alone for about half an hour. Mm. I need that. Okay, let's go around the family and write down all our needs. Everyone takes note. Pay attention. You can also mention your wants. Then identify how we can support one another in achieving the needs. The needs. If a child says, I need a Barbie doll now, we'll have to analyze that need and make it relevant. Check its relevance, lah. Because the child is growing and understanding things. So boil down to the basic needs and say, now how can all of us support Paul in his need to be alone for half an hour? What can we do? How can we support Mum in her need to get the kitchen clean? Or in Mum's need to sleep for 1 hour? Or Mum's need to do some exercise? Or Mum's need to be in the balcony to read a book? How can we support that? Son, you need to play computer games for a little while? Yes, I think that's a need. I agree. How can we support him in half an hour of TV time, computer time? So if we work around the table, we're actually supporting one another, we are reinforcing one another, and we're getting sensitive to the interactive functionality of the whole unit. That's a practical way to do things. And many families are doing it, and it's working very well.
Okay. Let's look at how this period of isolation is affecting people who live alone, and what they need to do to adapt to it.
The most important thing for me is okay. Let me introduce the new word I've coined for the world. If you've got a pen and paper, this is the time to write it down, everyone. Okay, write it in big capital letters. The word is this: sanitize. That's the word. Sanitize. You get it? Yes. I'm going to put a copyright on this one. Now, yes, it's not just sanitize. We've got to sanitize ourselves very carefully at all times of the day, and it's how to keep sane right now. Such an important word, because we are so busy doing everything else. One of the words to stay steady right now, one of the ways to stay steady right now is this. Let me make reference to this thing called, have you heard the prayer of serenity, Shawik? It's a prayer of serenity, and it goes something like this. You know, it says, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Accept courage and wisdom you're praying for. Accept what you cannot change, courage to change what you can, and the difference to know, the wisdom to know the difference, meaning you're not going to waste your time banging your head against the wall. So I think that kind of reality testing and awareness will help us stay on the straight and narrow. But keeping your finger on your mental health and well-being pulse is very important. You know, and you talk about people who are living alone. The most important thing, apart from being aware of your sanity, is feedback. Now, you're not getting feedback alone. So it's important to use the computers. The internet is a wonderful tool if you're going to the right places. This is the time for me to say something about this psychological test that people are using on the internet right now. There are many who are resorting to this test to check their mental health. And I'm getting a lot of calls with regard to, Paul, I'm losing my mind. This test told me this. This test told me that. So please heed this warning. Not every test is well designed. Some tests are there because they're it's an advertising gimmick. But whatever it is, even if it's there and even if you do indulge in taking the test, please keep those scores, take a picture of it, and send it to responsible people who can give you feedback as to whether or not you are at risk of some damage or some disease or some health problem or mental problem. But you must talk about it with a living adult who can actually talk back, discuss things with you. Now, one good test for you all to do is this test called the, let me just get it, Depression, Anxiety and Stress Scale, DAS-21. DAS-21, it tells you a very brief, it's about 20 questions or so. It gives you an idea as to your depression, anxiety, and stress. It's not a clinical tool, and it tells you that very nicely. Mm-hmm. It tells you very nicely this is not a clinical tool, but after you answer this, if you feel you have any questions, talk to someone. Discuss it with a professional. Now, that's a responsible tool. So have a look at that tool, my friends. The other thing for people who are living alone is socialize as much as you can. So what I've done with one or two of my clients is encourage them, of course, to get onto social media, Skype, and all these other kinds of tools, and FaceTime, all these tools, and talk to people every day. And I've told them to do it at least three times a day. Three times a day, please do that, between meals. Because meals is a different kind of thing that where you're active yourself. The other thing I've discussed with them, now you're going to misunderstand this funnily in the initial bit, is go for walks, go for a tour. Go out of the house, go diving, go hiking, go and visit a museum. Do you understand what I'm saying? The virtual tours. Get on the computer, get onto YouTube, and get into virtual hikes, virtual tours. Put it on, call a friend. Shall we? I'm calling you now. Shall we get onto this YouTube site? Okay. Now go into Taman Negara walking, hiking. Then you might see a YouTube clip there, Taman Negara walking. And then you click on it, and then both of us start to walk together. And we are walking through the jungle. Somebody's actually virtually videotaping it, you know. We're walking through the jungle, and we say, oh, yeah, look at the left there. Can you see the monkey jumping? Oh, yes, la, wonderful, la. And then I can hear the leaves, and then you breathe the air, imagine the air. And I'm talking to you while we are walking, going for a walk. I've done this myself many times already. I've gone diving with people. Slow diving, and after the dive, we stop and say, how about that fish we saw on the left-hand side near that big boulder just now? So getting involved in virtual tours, virtual hikes, it's a lovely thing to do, especially if you're living alone. So that's another positive thing you can do. But socializing is of paramount importance.
And, you know, all of that is about the now, sort of. How to slow down, process what you're feeling now, how to get through each day.
True.
But also, let's look at how we can turn all of this into something productive for the future.
Yeah. You're very, very right. That's probably the only downside of things that I'm worried about now. I'm worried that we may not actually learn a lesson from this. We'll be so euphoric after this, we will either trigger another kind of outbreak or a relapse. You know, after a flu, you quickly jump up and you start going to play football and all this and exert yourself. You can have a relapse of the flu and it can be worse because your body is weak, the system is down, your responsiveness is down. So I'm afraid that there'll be a physical, tangible relapse that'll hit us all after it's all lifted. But what's more important to me is that if there is a COVID-20 or something to that effect, are we ready?
What do you mean what by a COVID-20?
Another phenomenon that threatens our existence.
Okay.
Another threat and another set of challenges that we are not ready for, like 19.
Okay.
I mean, there was an 18 somewhere, but it didn't threaten us like this. 19 is threatening us. Now, will there be a threatening number 20 or 21 or 30, if you want to call it? Or will there be a tsunami of different proportions? Are we ready for a next massive challenge and a lockdown or a shutdown, or 24-hour curfew? It doesn't mean stocking up is going to help you. What soft skills do you have? What resilient skills do you have? So we have to slowly, sounds so philosophical that we are on the radio and in the comfort of our homes and things talking like this. But bearing in mind everyone who's going through different stages of this crisis, we need to change from living in a crisis to living with an opportunity that's presenting us. this is an opportunity for us to say we are now in preparation mode for a bigger crisis. Mm-hmm. We got to take notes. And I'd love people to start writing down, or you can start journaling, keeping a notebook of how you feel every day, frustrated, angry, all kinds of stuff. Like, just put down all sad, depressed, joy, wonderful, because this thing happened. My son gave me a massage. I was able to massage my wife's neck. Wow, so many nice things too. But keep a journal of all these things that happened, because we're going to forget. Mm-hmm. We're going to forget. When all this is lifted, we're going to forget. Mm-hmm. But I want us to go back to this book and say, hey, I need to learn lessons from things that happened to us. What skills do I need now? What plans do I make to prevent the suffering I'm going through now? What resolution? Forget the New Year resolution. What resolution do I make to myself in terms of my new skill I need to develop for the next lockdown, the next work from home, the next no job situation, the next no food? How do we deal with this? What skills do we need? That's how we need to turn the crisis into an opportunity now. So yes, are we ready for a COVID-20 in terms of using that metaphor?
I mean,
we need to sanitize it.
But is it something that's too big for us to wrap our heads around, though?
Start small. Start with your home. Start with you. Start with how you are feeling. And you might say, okay, Paul, I'm having problems identifying emotions. Okay, that's your next course to attend, your next workshop. Paul, I don't know how to control my anger. Wonderful. That's the next workshop you attend. Mm-hmm. Anger management. Mm-hmm. Okay, Paul, I don't know how to relate to my son anymore. Very good. That's another thing you must attend. Relationships building. I'm using emotional blackmail. I don't know how to resolve conflicts. I can't sleep. I don't know how to relax. Mm-hmm. My joints are stiff. I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to use the washing machine. I don't know how to mop the house. Mm-hmm. I mean, little things first. Start with yourself. Don't ask somebody else to change first. Mm-hmm. Start with the little things that you can do along the way that improves you. Resilience is not talking about how I teach you. It's about how I teach myself, mm-hmm. how I'm going to be resilient. Mm-hmm. Little things like that, tiny things like that. Mm-hmm. But it has to be very practical and applied.
How does mindfulness help us here? Because you've talked about mindfulness being being mindful in the here and now. Is it a technique or tool that can help us to think about how we can change for what's to come?
No. I'm sorry. I said no very prematurely, very quickly, because many people think that mindfulness itself is a solution. Mm-hmm. In certain scenarios, it can be a solution to help you relax and become less stressed out in terms of responding immediately to firefighting all the time. Yeah. Slow down, relax, gather your thoughts, get your body rested, get your mind relaxed a little bit, mm-hmm. oxygenate a bit more. Mm-hmm. Things like that's all very good for you. Mm-hmm. However, keeping quiet and in the zone and relaxing is not going to teach you anger skills.
Yeah.
It's not going to. But you can start realizing you need anger skills. Only when you slow down, relax, you have clarity of mind, you can say, okay, I need anger skills. Now it's becoming clear to me. I need stress management skills. Mm-hmm. I need options to develop with regard to physical expression and build-up of emotion. Yeah. So in that sense, mindfulness will help for sure. So what in short of saying, shut up, sit down and think, I'll say, be mindful. Mm-hmm. So
same
basically
thing.
It means shut up, sit down and think on your own quietly. Don't think of anything else, okay? Don't mm-hmm. think of tomorrow, don't think of yesterday. Shut up, think now. Just relax. Okay, now cool down. Here's some nice music for you. I want you to breathe in, breathe out. Let your mind go. Let things come in and wander. Don't ponder, don't dwell on anything. Wow, so nice, la. And I lead individuals and groups over the phone in group chatting with mindfulness. All you need is someone to guide you. It's called guided meditation or guided mindfulness. And you've got some very good tools on the internet. Please avail yourself of it. But you must be dedicated to trying it. Initially, it'll look crazy and funny that you're sitting alone with a computer and going into some kind of relaxed mode. But it is so good, so very good. You'll get habituated to it.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
And also along the lines of, you know, using this time as in this crisis as an opportunity, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of, we're feeling a lot of negativity. We're feeling like control has been taken away from us. Freedom has been taken away from us. How do we turn that on its head and look at the positive? How do we expand on this idea of gratitude at this time?
Oh, yes. I mean, the first part of your question is still under the prayer of serenity again. You have to understand what you cannot change. Mm-hmm. You have to accept it. Then you must develop the courage to say, okay, now how can I change what I can change? How can I live with this? But you must understand what you cannot change. Mm-hmm. If you have difficulty there, then you're going to end up breaking the rules. Mm-hmm. You will suffer, people will suffer. That's a definite, that's a law. That will never, ever change. But the second part of your question was, remind me again?
Gratitude.
It was how we can?
Gratitude,
I think, is a fantastic way of changing your mindset. It doesn't change the world around you. It changes your mindset, mm-hmm. where you will feel calmer. And in comparing yourself in your mental state of what you don't have as to opposed to what you have, what you cannot get in opposing to what you already have with you, mm-hmm. being satisfied, being content, that will sway you towards being more positive than negative and desirous of things that you don't have. Mm-hmm. I'm so unlucky. I'm lousy. I don't have this. I don't have that. Look at the next door house. Got 10 aircons. We only got one fan. This, that. When you can turn around and maybe say, but I have my family with me. I've got fresh food. And we've never spent so much time together. And yesterday I was able to hug my son for more time. I don't have to fight for paternity leave anymore. Now I've got 2 weeks paid paternity leave. You know, but little things like that. If you can try and look for the positives of things in yourself and the things around you, that will change your mindset. And with a change of mindset, it has been proven by scientific processes that it is good for your physiology, your DNA. It's good for the whole body and your mind feels more relaxed. Mm. So, yes, it is a deliberate action on your part to say, let me count my blessings.
Mm.
Yes, so that's the way it will help.
Yeah. And as we are about to wrap up, you know, I think we've talked about now, we've talked about how do we...
Future.
Yes, future. So I think, you know, day by day, we're inching closer to the day when the movement control order will be lifted. Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts that you'd like to share on sort of how we can transition that point?
Well, how we can transition that point? Just before that, I had two strategies that I'd like to share. Two strategies while still under lockdown, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
One strategy that I developed was the king, queen, princess, prince strategy, where for a day, you treat someone like a king, queen, prince, or princess. So today is my day. So it's like a day off kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone panders around me. I'm the king of the day. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then tomorrow is going to be mommy's day. Day after tomorrow will be so-and-so's day. So we pander and we make someone feel like the king or queen or the prince or princess for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that itself is a nice practice and reinforcing thing of we are here for you and I'm enjoying all of you being here for me. That itself will positively reinforce a lot of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The other strategy I came up with is while you're feeling locked down, change your space. So what I want you all to try and do is try this. Well, if you can, the ultimate is to get into the car. But I'd like you all to spend half an hour in one bedroom locked up. All get into one bedroom and lock yourself up
mm-hmm.
for half an hour. See how you guys do. Try 1 hour.
With or without our mobile phones?
anything. Just normal. Lock yourselves up in a room.
Okay.
I want the space reduced.
Mm-hmm.
And so the intensity of the molecules within the space will start bouncing off one another even more. Mm-hmm. And then liberate yourselves and come out of the room. And you'll go, wow, we're thankful we're at the house. So much more space. Mm. What I've got one group of people to do is to sit in the car. And I got them to sit in the car for about 2 hours. They finally came out of their car and went into their house. And they're so thankful they got a house. Mm. So changing space like this, just try it, guys. Mm-hmm. Just try it. It's amusing, but it can also backfire, meaning you'll see people under pressure and you'll say, oh, now we need to address that too. Mm-hmm. But you'll be grateful that you can actually come out of that space, and you'll be very grateful you've got bigger space already rather than saying, I don't want the MCO.
Yep.
Imagine we all asked to stay in one bedroom or in a ward.
Yep.
You know, or ICU in isolation. So anyway, to wind up, I would like to leave you with this new coined phrase called sanitize, of course. Mm-hmm. But the important thing is my question, I want to leave it in the form of question. Are you sensitive to yourself and to other people around you? Do something about it. That's the key. Do something about it. Watch your fat. Keep a close finger on the pulse of your feelings, your actions, and your thoughts. Do something about it. Mm. Embrace change. Embrace it. Say, how can I be part of this? I really want to be part of this. It's such an opportunity for change. Mm. And of course, be kind to one another. Mm-hmm. Very important at this time.
Yep.
Be as kind as possible.
Yep.
So that's it.
Be kind, be mindful, embrace change.
I've left out being be mindful. Mm. Self-awareness, embrace change. Oh, yes, please. And of course, sanitize.
Thank you so much, Paul.
See you.
That was Paul Jambunathan, consultant clinical psychologist, right here on Health and Living on the Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.